Well, hello, saints. Good to be back with you. Good. Today, on this nice rainy day, amen, let's go to the Lord. Father, I just praise you, Lord, and I glorify you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the word that you put in us. Lord, I ask and I pray that this study today would help a lot of people to help conquer the flesh in them. Thank you, Father, for the anointing. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And I praise you, Father, for all that's accomplished this day. In Jesus' name, be with me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, God always repeats history. Jesus came along, and what was prophesied about him? Luke chapter 1, verse 31 says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Praise God forevermore. And so we see that Jesus came to sit on the throne of David, or to rule over New Testament spiritual Israel as a repetition of the Davidic ministry over Israel. And we also discover a parallel there that we find in other places in the scriptures also, and that is when Jesus came on the scene to lead those who had eyes to see and ears to hear, that there was a ministry already in place that followed him every step of the way. And before David came on the scene, there was a Saul ministry. Those Pharisees, those Sadducees, their zealots, and all the heads of the denominations in Jesus' day represented this Saul ministry. So let's look and see what we can find out about the Saul ministry. Well, one thing is that Jesus said things about the religious head of his day that were true of Saul in David's day. Jesus said that they were leading the people badly. Actually, they were leading them to destruction and weren't being obedient to the commands of the Lord. Jesus also said of the Pharisees that they made of no effect the word of God by their traditions, Mark 7:13. And we see verses that speak about them raising up people to be sons of the devil. Matthew 23:15 says, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is become so, you make him twofold more of a son of hell than yourselves." Well, what kind of a ministry of God's people is it who raise up people to be sons of hell and sons of the devil? And who in the world can believe that after being raised up in such a religious institution or institutions that they could possibly be that? Well, those people, of course, didn't believe that they were sons of hell and the devil. Of course they didn't. In our day, too, there's a lot of people out there who are in Christianity and are just as mean as a one-eyed snake. And yet they think they're sons of God. And it's real sad. But you can recognize people by their fruit, Matthew 12:33. Remember what the scriptures had to say, which is that everything in the Gospels and in the book of Acts is going to be repeated in our day, except the cast of characters is multiplied many times over. In other words, every time history repeats, it repeats with more people. So we see corporate body entities in the book of Revelation and in the types and shadows there, and all through the Gospels and the book of Acts, we're also going to see that, folks. God had reprobated those ministries even before Jesus came on the scene. Jesus prophesied what Isaiah the prophet said of them, that they couldn't see and they couldn't hear. Matthew 13:14 says, "And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall in no wise understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest happily they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. They didn't understand what Jesus was bringing to them from the Father, and they were jealously protecting their turf, so to speak. And of course, they were the ones, the so-called people of God, who persecuted and killed the saints. I know y'all don't think it's going to be any different in our day, because it ain't. History just repeats. And that's how we know God's in control. Remember what Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 said, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. So we see that their Saul ministry was leading people to destruction. And if a few hadn't listened to Jesus, they would have all been destroyed. But God saved a remnant through the man-child Jesus. And we've already shared with you that Jesus said how he was going to repeat that history again in end time, that he was going to be gone for a little while. But when he returned, he was going to return like a little baby boy, a man child born to a woman in travail, as it says in John 16 and Revelation 12. Now we have another man child ministry coming. And before that ministry comes, before the David ministry comes again, God's going to reprobate another Saul ministry. Remember that the Saul ministry led their people to destruction, led them to death. And yet they thought they were such religious people. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 that that's all a type and a shadow for us. And we can see there are a lot of people who believe that they are children of God, but they're totally deceived. We can tell by their fruit, if you just judge by the word of God, what a person merely believes that they are ain't going to make a bit of difference at all compared to what Jesus said about the scripture, that we're going to be judged by the scriptures. John 12 and 48, he that rejects me and receives not my sayings has one that judges him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. So we need to know what the scriptures say, right? 1 Chronicles 10, verse 1. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gabor. And the Philistines followed hard after Saul and after his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab, and Malchishua, and the sons of Saul. Now, what are we talking about here? Well, we know that God showed us what some of the types represent. And in this type right here, the Philistines were the people who dwelt in the land before Israel was commanded to come in. Israel was commanded to conquer them and take that land. And so what we need to understand is the same thing. The parallel that we saw in the book of Exodus, which was that the Egyptians represented the old man. The old man lived in the land, and the Israelites were in bondage to the old man. So God sent his man-child Moses in there to lead his people out of bondage to the old man. God even took them through baptism in the Red Sea, where that old man was drowned. And when we go down in the waters of baptism now, it symbolizes putting that old man in us to death. We're supposed to reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, but now we're alive unto Christ. And the new man comes up on the other side. That's in Romans 6 and 11. Well, this is the same with the promised land, folks. The Israelites were the spiritual man that was to conquer the old man who lived in the land, and those Philistines were now conquering them. What do you think it represents when the old man conquers the new man? That ain't a good thing, is it? Does it ever happen? Yep, it sure does. Now, let's look at an extreme example of this happening. Look in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Now, that's speaking to Christians, okay? And then fell away. It is impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Well, who's the Son of God? Then how can you crucify to yourself the Son of God except that, remember, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. And who is Christ in you? He's that born-again man. He's the spiritual man. He's being created, recreated in the image of Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said this in John 6:63. The words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life. Those words there went into his disciples and they recreated Jesus' spirit and his life in them. So there is a man in you, a spiritual man in you, that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul is talking now about someone who has partaken of very much of the kingdom, the heavenly gift, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the powers of the age to come. And then they fell away. And he says in such a case, when somebody's gone that far and decided to go back, God's not going to grant them repentance. There are people who are in lesser cases who do repent and do come back to the Lord. We know that. But look at what's being said here. They crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Well, what happened here was the old man conquered the new man, didn't he? He put the new man to death. They walked willfully against the Lord and crucified the spiritual man. And Paul goes on to say this in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 7. For the land which hath drunk the rain that comes oft upon it and brings forth herbs meat for them, for whose sake it is also tilled, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is rejected and nigh unto a curse, whose end is to be burned. Now, I know a lot of people don't believe that, but the fact is, it's going to be burned. It's going to be rejected. And that's the word, the Greek word, adokimos. It means reprobated. In the sense of not standing the test, rejected by God. Well, if you notice in this particular scenario, the new man was conquered. Therefore, the Bible tells us that this is exactly what can happen. Another example is found here in James chapter 5, verse 19. My brethren, now you know when he says my brethren, that's Christian, right? If any among you err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he who converts a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sin. A soul can die because there are too many. There's two men living in your land. That's the new man, and then there's the old man. And if you walk after the new man, he's going to conquer the old man. And if you walk after the old man, he will conquer the new man. Jude 11 says, woe unto them, for they went in the way of Cain. What did Cain do? Of course, Cain killed his brother. The brother, Abel, was the spiritual one in the family. The old man conquered the new man, so to speak. And if you really want proof of that, when Seth was born, he was called a replacement for Abel in Genesis 4:25. Why was God replacing Abel? Because when a person comes into the world, they begin to walk after their flesh very naturally. And that fleshly man puts to death the spiritual man. We've all gone astray, each one after his own way, as it says in 1 Peter 2:25. And that spiritual man represents the one that Cain killed, which is Abel. So there had to be a replacement, a born-again spiritual man. And the next one that came along was Seth. You see, that's why he was a replacement. It even says it there very plainly in Genesis 4:25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For said she, God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, for Cain slew him. He was a replacement for Abel. So they went in the way of Cain, putting to death the spiritual man, and ran riotously in the error of Balaam for hire. Jude 11. A lot of people are living after the lust of the flesh. They're selling their birthright just like Esau did. And they're doing things because of gain, and they believe doctrines because of gain, not because it's the truth or what they need. And they perished in the gainsaying of Korah, Jude 11. Korah was someone who was usurping the authority that God rightly gave to Moses and Aaron. Jude 12 says this, these are they who are hidden rocks in your love feast when they feast with you, shepherds that without fear feed themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Well, how can you be twice dead? Well, you have to be twice born. You have to be born again and died again. How does that happen? Well, the old man conquers the new man when a person walks after their flesh, Romans 8:12. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Verse 13, for if ye, and if you'll notice that's brethren, and this is brothers and sisters here, that's the people of God. For if ye live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. And if you walk after the flesh, folks, you're feeding the flesh. And if you feed the flesh will conquer your spiritual man. There's still a lot of people sitting on a pew, folks, and there are many leaders still leading churches, and they've been dead for a long time. The Bible even says, she that gives herself to pleasure is dead while she liveth. 1 Timothy 5:6. There's a lot of people who are dead. They had a relationship with God. They walked with God. They had a conscience and they loved to please God. Yet in some way, now they love to please man. They love to please religion. They love to please their flesh. In 1 Chronicles 10, we see the story of the Philistines conquering Israel. They conquered the people of Israel and conquered Saul and his three sons. 1 Chronicles 10:3. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers overtook him, and he was distressed by reason of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took his sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he likewise fell upon his sword and died. So Saul died and his three sons and all his house died together. What do you think that's talking about? Saul and his house fell together. And it's interesting that Saul led God's people to their death. Saul represents a ministry in our day that's leading a people called Israel to their death. But why would Saul do such a thing? How could he do such a thing? And what would cause him to do that? Well, Saul had a good start, But shortly after that, he had a very bad continuation. After Saul won some battles for the people of God, God gave him a very specific command, 1 Samuel 15:1. And Samuel said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I have marked that which Amalek did to Israel, how he set himself against him in the way which he came out of Egypt. Who is it that oppresses us and stands in our way when we seek to come out of the world? Well, it's our old man. Who was it that sought to destroy Israel when they wanted to come out of the world, come out of Egypt? It was the Egyptians, the old man. And that's what Amalek represents here. Amalek is those who resisted them coming out of the world and going to the promised land. 1 Samuel 15:3. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. God commanded Saul to wipe them all out and not to leave anything. And you might say, well, that's kind of merciless. Well, it is merciless until you stop to figure out who he's talking about here in the spirit and not in the letter. Although the letter was true and it did happen, it was a type and a shadow that's been given to us, 1 Corinthians 10:11. So if it's for us, what does it mean? We're not going to go around killing Amalekites, are we? No. We have to see this in the spirit, and in the spirit, what's it saying? It's saying we have to put to death our enemies that resist us coming out of this world. Every man, every woman, every child, all of them, all the beasts, they have to die. They, every one of them, have to die. And God does not give any ifs, ands, or buts about it either. He wants them all taken away, the man of the flesh. But Saul didn't obey, and he spared somebody. 1 Samuel 15:8, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. They spared Agag. And what does Agag represent? He was the leader over the flesh. He represented the mind of the flesh, the brains of the outfit. He was the mind of the flesh, and Saul spared the mind of the flesh. God said, go and kill them all. Don't leave a man. Don't leave a woman. Don't even leave a child. Every one of them has to die. And you know that we can't. This old man can't enter the kingdom of heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Matthew 16:25, for whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Except you lose your life, you're not going to gain your life. And as long as this man lives, we're in danger of losing our life. And I'm talking about we, the spiritual man, are in danger of losing our life as long as that old man lives. That's why God said, don't have any mercy on him. Put him to death. Kill him immediately. Don't have any mercy. So Paul spared Agag, whom I believe represents the mind of the flesh. And what did God say about that when Samuel caught Saul sparing this man? He rebuked Saul, 1 Samuel 15:17. And Samuel said, though thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? The problem was that Saul became too big for his britches and he didn't want to do what God had commanded. He began to reason for himself like a lot of us people do, especially leadership over God's people who like to reason for themselves. You know, God don't care a thing about our reasoning. He just wants us to obey what he has written. But people try to worm their way out of it. And God said in 1 Samuel 15:23, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. There it is. That's your reprobation right there. He has rejected thee from being king. And what did Saul say? 1 Samuel 15:24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Well, isn't that true of a lot of preachers today, folks? They fear the people. They want to obey them. They want to please them. They want to make sure they can keep paying their tithes and on, right? Now, isn't it that way? Now, we see shortly after that in chapter 16, God anointed little David to be king. He didn't become king right there. Samuel just anointed him from that time forth. And at the same time, of course, the Spirit of God departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. That's in 1 Samuel 16:14. From that point on, everything was downhill for Saul. Why? Because he didn't kill that old man. He didn't lead God's people to kill the old man. And so what happened? He led them to their death because the Philistines conquered them. You see, the old man conquered them. And another type in this is the story of David and Goliath. Y'all remember the story of how little David had already killed his lion and his bear in 1 Samuel 17:34-35. He had experience, and he just flat out told Saul, look, this guy ain't no problem. We can take care of him. But Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Well, that's true. The old flesh from our youth, it's been conquering us and keeping us under. It's been a mighty giant to us. We just don't think it can be conquered. The problem is when people who call themselves preachers don't think that he can be conquered, it's because they don't even know the gospel. They haven't read the Bible and they haven't received a revelation from God. You don't want to sit on anybody like that. That's a Saul ministry, because they don't know that you can conquer the giant. And that was the bad report. And that was given to the people of God when they went in and looked at the promised land and found those giants there. You know, the 10 spies, they died in the wilderness because they didn't believe they could conquer the giants. But what happened to Joshua and Caleb, who did believe? They walked into the promised land in their bodies, folks. They were the only ones who walked straight into the promised land. They never even died. Well, Saul had an idea. David, you know, was telling Saul, look, I took care of the lion and I took care of the bear when they came out against my sheep, came out against God's flock. And this uncircumcised Philistine, I could take care of him too by the grace of God. Then an interesting thing happened. 1 Samuel 17:38. And Saul clad David with his apparel, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he clad him with a coat of mail, and David girded his, that's Saul, sword upon his apparel, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I can't go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. Well, who had proved them? Saul was the only one who had proved his own armor, right? So what Saul was saying is that that giant can't be conquered. I ain't going out there. Here, you take my armor, you go. You take care of him for me, and I'm not going out there. You know, nobody can conquer that giant for you. Everybody has to conquer their own giant, folks. And to tell you the truth, the Lord's already done it at the cross. Now, all we have to do is accept that we were crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. The old man, the one who's ruled over our life, who brought us into bondage, the one who's lived in the land even before the born-again spiritual man comes into the land, that one is the one who's ruled over us and is like a giant to us. And Saul is hidden, and his ministry said, you can't handle that guy. He'd been a warrior from his youth, and you're just a little old nobody. But I'll tell you what, even a little old nobodies can handle him. You know what? You know why? Because Jesus and you together is all that's necessary. Amen? Thank you, Lord. So David said he hadn't proved it. What had he proved? He had never worn any of man's armor because his armor was the Lord. In fact, he told Goliath then, I love this, thou camest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I came to see thee. I came to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And that's all he had was the name. That was his armor. Then verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from off thee, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day into the birds of heaven and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That little guy had a lot of spunk, didn't he? But you know what? It wasn't just talk. It was the faith of the Lord inside him. He knew. He took out that lion and that bear, and he knew it wasn't him. He knew it was God. When a person walks by faith, they handle bigger and bigger enemies, and it just comes natural to them. Well, anyway, David did conquer the giant. He did cut his head off. And, of course, Saul spared the head of the flesh, but David cut it off. And not only that, David obeyed God and took out the Amalekites. He took them out, man, woman, and child. And if you'll notice, this was before David came into the kingdom, before he was anointed to be king over all Israel. He'd already been anointed by Samuel, and he was in the wilderness with his men, fighting the battles of Israel, while Saul was ruling in Israel as the official head of the kingdom. It was David that was out there fighting the battles for Israel. And I think that's what's happening today, folks. David hadn't yet assumed the throne. He hasn't yet come to the anointing of the kingdom. But right now, he's out there fighting the battles of the kingdom. 1 Samuel 27:8. And David and his men went up and made a raid upon the Gershurites and the Gerzites and the Amalekites, for those nations were the inhabitants of the land, who were of old, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. So, these were the first rulers of the land, just like your old flesh was the first ruler of this land. In Hebrews 6, God is calling the land this life that we live in. This land, this life that we live in, has to bear fruit, and that old man has to die. 1 Samuel 27:9, and David smote the land and saved neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and he returned and came to Achish. So he saved not a man nor a woman alive. He conquered the Amalekites. David didn't have any problem leading God's people to conquer his enemies because he first conquered that old man. Saul didn't conquer the old man. He didn't obey. He didn't put to death the mind of the flesh. And so the Philistines came back and conquered both him and the people he was leading. Now, that's a ministry that we're living amongst right now, folks. These ministries all around the world right now don't believe in conquering the flesh. They like to live peaceably with the old man. You know, we may want to live with the old man, but if you do, the old man is going to conquer you. You can't both live in the same property because they're going to come back and conquer you. They took Saul out, and that's the reason he didn't obey God. He didn't put to death the old man. You know what happened? When they conquered Saul, they took his head off, and they put it in the house of their God. What you think that means? See, he was supposed to take the old man's head off, wasn't he? You know, when Samuel greeted Saul, returning from the slaughter of the Amalekites, Samuel rebuked him right there in front of everybody. And Samuel said unto him, "The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou." And then Samuel immediately took his sword, and he cut Agag in pieces. He put him totally to death. He didn't leave nothing but little tiny pieces of him. And he knew how important it was to put this leader of the old man to death. Saul didn't know that. He was having mercy. He thought he had more wisdom. And of course, it's painful to put to death the old man. But it's a command from God. And we have to lose our life to gain our life. And Saul just totally missed out on what the Lord was trying to say to him. Folks, we are called to rest from our works with the grass under our feet. And all flesh is as grass, it says in 1 Peter 1:24, right? We have to have dominion over the old man. And we rest from our own works. We can't save ourselves. The Lord's already done it, folks. And all he wants us to do is to believe what he said and rest in it and trust in him, and he'll bring it to pass. But as we rest from our own works, that's when God's power comes in. For we who have believed do enter into that rest, Hebrews 4:3. When you believe God's promises, there's nothing left for you to do but to trust and to rest and to cease. And if you really believe he's done it, then trust him. When we enter into that rest, that's where God's power comes in. And it'll do you a lot of good to get as far away from some of them that you're listening to as you can right now. The old man is ruling in many of the churches. It's not the spiritual man, it's the old man. He has conquered the spiritual man in many cases. And in many cases, that spiritual man is dead because he doesn't have any power to rule. And this is Saul leading his people to spiritual death. Not physical death, spiritual death. You can be dead while you're still going to church, but you have no relationship with God. You no longer hear his voice. And your spiritual man that once heard him very well, even as a baby, no longer hears him. A person can use the word of God in an attempt to clean people up. For instance, they can use legalism. They can manipulate the word to their own advantage, to their own gain, to all kinds of things. They can live unworthily of the word and then have a doctrine that justifies their unworthy life, like a lot of false doctors do. All these things bring death to the spiritual man, the one who is eternal, the one who has eternal life. And remember, the old man doesn't have eternal life. That's why he has to die here. There's a lot of people who have become twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Their spiritual man died because they followed a Cain, a Balaam, an Eli, a Saul, a Pharisee. They've become twice dead. In other words, Saul has led his people to lose their life at the hands of their own fleshly man. They walked after the flesh. They used the word while doing it and walked after the flesh. But where does that lead? Romans chapter 8 says it leads to death. You might still be standing on your feet, still going to church, still talking the talk, but you can't walk the walk. It's what God told Moses, "I set before you this day a blessing and a curse," in Deuteronomy 11:26. The word of God is both a blessing and a curse. It depends on your relationship to the word. And if you obey the word's a blessing. And if you submit to the word, if you have faith in the word is a blessing. If you disobey the word is a curse. If you walk after the flesh, you must die. Yet so many preachers get people's eyes on themselves. They get their eyes on the earth. They get their eyes on what they have to do or what they can do, and it doesn't bring nothing but death. But you know, you can be in the water and of the water. Moses means drawn from the water. So if you can be in the water, you can be of the water. But if you have your faith on the sun, that water's a blessing to you. It's life. And when we keep our faith on the sun, he's the one who supplies our needs. He's the one who works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, glory to God. He's the one who's crucified that old man. And he's the one who's healed our bodies. He's the one who's delivered us from the curse. It's all accomplished. And it's all over, folks. All we have to do is believe what the Bible says. You don't have to be moralized every Sunday, go down and grieve at an altar because you've been so bad all week since you hadn't had any faith because the preacher lied to you. You don't have to do that until you die. Some people just ultimately give up, throw their hands up in there and say, well, what's the use? This thing don't work. I tried it. No, you didn't try it. You tried their methods and you tried their ways, but they lied to you about the power of God, what God's already done, already accomplished. You've had your eyes on the world the whole time. You need your eyes on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And all of this becomes life when you get your eyes on the Son of God. Well, the Sauls are leading God's people to death. Yep. In Jesus' day, that was also the overwhelming majority of the leadership of God's people. And it's the same way today, because history always repeats. Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 says, that which hath been is that which hath been done shall be done, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. Just as Jesus came as a Davidic ministry to lead God's people, a remnant of God's people, to righteousness, to truth, to purity, and the true kingdom of God, we have a man-child ministry coming that is to follow the Saul ministry that's in the leadership right now. Right after Saul was conquered, David came on the scene and was anointed of the Lord to rule all Israel. And guess what it said? Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron. Can you imagine all Israel following after the man-child ministry? How can that be? It's because of who all Israel is. All Israel are those who are grafted into the olive tree through their faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 11, 23 and 26. All Israel is not all the people who rejected Jesus or didn't believe what he had to say. Obviously, there were a lot of people who didn't believe what Jesus had to say. They were following Saul to their death. But Jesus as David, and the man-child in our day as David, in whom Jesus lives, of course, Jesus is always going to be the head over all of God's true people, the New Testament spiritual Israel, glory to God. Jesus led all Israel because they all believed in him. Read Romans chapter 11. All Israel are only those Jews who came out of apostate religion and those Gentiles who were grafted in. All Israel are only the people who believe and are born of God, born of the word that comes down out of heaven. There's a lot of people born out of the word that come from the earth. They're born of the word that's a part of their religion. They're born of the leaven which has no power to bring forth the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So here we go again. We're talking about a great revival coming among these people, folks. And it's a real revival too, because these people who didn't follow Saul to death are now behind David. And as a matter of fact, when you read the next few chapters, you'll find out that some of these people came to David while he was still in the wilderness. before he even became king, they came to David and followed and fought with him. They fought the enemies of Israel and conquered the enemies of Israel because they were killing their old man. And Saul couldn't conquer the enemies of Israel because he didn't kill his own old man. You have an enemy in the camp. You got a spy in the camp here, folks. And he's working for the enemy. You can't win unless you conquer that old man, that Goliath in your own life. And you know why David was so successful? He'd already killed Goliath. The old man was dead, so now the Lord was ruling. That's a spiritual type and shadow for us, and that's why he was able to lead God's people where Saul couldn't lead God's people. He'd already put the old man to death. So leading God's people to put the old man in the land, the Amalekites, to death was no problem for David because he'd already been there, done that. Saul hadn't been there, and he hadn't done that. And so Saul led his people to death. He didn't even believe that the old man could be conquered. He didn't believe that the giant should be conquered and told David so. That's their doctrine today. Just be happy to be forgiven. Never think you're going to overcome sin. And if that's their doctrine, folks, how are they going to conquer that old man? They're leaving the old man alive. They're leaving that mind of the flesh alive. And it's going to come back to conquer them. And it's happening. Can you see the ministries that are falling right now? Now, I know they're still propped up. And I know they're still preaching. And I know they still have people coming and they're still gathering in tithes. But you know what? They're dead. They have turned away from God. They're fallen. There was a preacher who recently wrote a book defending Israel and declaring that Jesus didn't come to be the Messiah. How could he write that when the New Testament tells us so much and so often that he is the Messiah? Over and over and over, reread Jesus the Christ. And that word Christ is the word Messiah. 1 John 2:22, who is the liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, even he that denieth the Father and the Son. And who is Antichrist but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah? That's Antichrist. How could so many people be following Sauls like that? Well, I'll tell you what's happening. People are following Saul to death. And you know who the old man is? The old man is ruling in the temple of God. He is the beast ruling in the temple of God. He's leading people to their death. And I tell you, we can't depart from this word. It's the only thing that brings the life of Christ in us, glory to God. It is the seed of Jesus Christ, this word is. It declares that in Matthew 13. He's the sower who sowed the seed that went into the heart that brought forth the fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold. There ain't nothing else that works, just the true word of God. The Sauls out there are defending their flesh, altering the word so that the old man can live, while they themselves are living after the lust of their flesh and teaching their people to live after the lust of the flesh. And while they're saying, keep that old man alive now, we don't want him to die on us. And while they're doing that, they're dying at the hands of the Philistine. And soon, David is coming on the scene. And we're going to know it because these institutions and their leaders are going to become so corrupt that any child who's read the New Testament one time knows there's something wrong. Oh, let the word of God be your guide, folks. There's no safety anywhere but trusting in the word of God. Babylon, folks, is going to be the hole, the prison of every foul demon. And the Bible tells us in Revelation 18:2, and that's saying that there are going to be more demons in the church, as we call it, the church, than there are outside of the church. And I'll tell you what, if you want to get demons possessed, go to church. You think I'm joking? But people are being delivered over to religious spirits, lying and deceiving spirits every day. They're being taught how to live in the flesh, and they're being led of Saul to their destruction. They've been conquered by the old man. They don't even know it. They're quite happy living in the flesh. And when they first came to the Lord, many of these people did have a conscience. They would have never given in to this, but slowly they've been taken over. Taken over and then taken over. You know, there is a real church, and it's called the Called Out Ones. And in the Bible, Jesus called these people who went into the sheepfold, he called his sheep by name, and he called them out. They were those first disciples who came out of the apostate religion of Judaism and followed Jesus. Don't wait, folks, for your religion to follow. Not one religion followed Jesus back then, and they ain't going to do it today. Don't wait for them to follow, because they ain't going to do it. None of these organizations are going to do it. People do it. Organizations don't do it. No organization followed Jesus. Not one. And they're not going to follow him this time either. When you see this man child coming, and if you haven't recognized from the scriptures that God is repeating history, you're going to be in trouble, because you're going to continue to follow Saul to his death and destruction. And believe me, it's not just spiritual, it's going to be physical too. There's a great and terrible day of the Lord coming, and that the Saul ministries and the people who follow them are going into. They're not going to escape. And it's not the tribulation period. It follows the tribulation period. Just like the word says. And it's there for the enemies of God's people. And the major enemies of God's people are religious folks who killed all, who killed all the prophets? Who killed Jesus? Who killed the disciples? It was those that called themselves the people of God. They became so reprobate that they couldn't recognize goodness, righteousness, and truth. And is it happening in our day? Yeah. They're following Saul to their death. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, "Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord." You know, when Jesus called forth those disciples to come out of that sheepfold, that was the church. The sheepfold wasn't the church. Church means called out ones. The ones who came out followed Jesus, and that was the church. Now God's going to repeat history. He's got another body of David. Why do I call it a body of David? Because Jesus is the one who lives in his Davids, and is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's coming according to Ezekiel 34 to shepherd his own sheep. He's had enough of those other shepherds shepherding his sheep. He's going to shepherd his sheep, and he's going to move, live, speak through a pure vessel. A vessel in whom Goliath is dead. And he's going to once again lead forth his sheep out of the apostate institutions of Christianity. Why? Because if you read the New Testament, you can see very clearly. If you'll just start reading the New Testament for yourself, and decide that you're going to believe everything you see there. And the first thing you're going to realize is that I'm in the wrong place. What am I doing here? I should be following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Just like Revelation 14 and 4 speaks about. They came out from among them and they followed the Lamb whithersoever he went or is going. Well, folks, I'm out of time. I hope you got something out of this. I hope this helps you. God bless you. We'll see you next time, God willing.